Good morning, everybody.
Love Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It's Todd Tomasello with Safeguard Your Soul Radio. And we have a program this morning about something extremely important in the kingdom of God, and that would be to be a servant of the Lord. Out of John chapter 13 and verse 17 comes to mind, where Jesus says, happy are you if you obey these things, that is, serving others. You know, I told a guy the other day, I said, remember ABS, always be serving, always be serving. And to converse with this important subject this morning, I've got none other than Travis Bryan III. Good morning, Brother Travis.
Good morning, Brother Todd. How are you today?
Doing great, brother. I'm excited about this subject. You know, I think when we begin to learn the truths of the kingdom of God and we really take to heart what Jesus taught, this is going to be a topic that we don't evade as perhaps we did in our earlier years of being a Christian. But actually, this is going to be a topic that we actually diligently pursue to be a student of, Brother Travis. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely, Todd. And it's a wonderful truth that we have a servant God. And Jesus pretty much described that when he described his own heart in Matthew 11. He said, I am meek and lowly in heart. That is the heart of the servant God, Todd.
Amen, brother. You know, if we are growing with Christ, it'll be evident in that we are seeking to serve him and others more diligently and more fully, right?
Oh, absolutely, Todd. But, you know, in order to serve others, we have to understand God's service to us. That's the first motivator to serving others. And really, Todd, we don't, in our flesh, serve others. We simply get out of the way through the cross and let the great servant God serve others through us, Todd, through us.
Excellent, excellent. That's the title of something. Amen, brother. Something you wrote recently called A Servant God, which is an interesting title, as you just mentioned. And you talked about how the book of John, Brother Travis, is a book of signs. Did you want to expound on that a little bit?
Well, it actually says that in about three places, Todd, and I failed to look up the various verses, but it says many signs he did. The first sign was the turning of the water into wine. And a sign is something that signifies a deeper meaning, a deep spiritual truth, Todd. It's a superficial event that signifies a deep meaning. And entire book of John, they are selective events in Jesus' life designed to be signs of something deeper, Todd.
Amen. And that was the first sign that he did there in John 2 when he turned the water into wine at the wedding. And then you talk about...
And what
about,
does that signify?
Brother,
that signifies the fact that God turns life into death. That's the great signification of turning water into wine, Todd.
Amen. He turns death into life, right?
Exactly.
Amen. Now, in John 13, you spoke about how it shows us a great sign of the actual character of God, of the God who we follow. He is a servant
exactly.
God and not a lion king. Satan is the lion, 1 Peter 5:8. God is a servant God who in Jesus came to serve, not to be served, Matthew 20, verse 24 through 20. This has great ramifications. You wrote, most Christians give lip service to this God who came to serve through his son, but they really believe He is a Lion King who demands that we must bow to in fear and to serve him out of this fear motivation, and that is not what the Bible reveals. And then you went on, you said, until we fully realize his servant's heart and his service to us, we will not be enabled to serve him in this same motivation. God is only a king through his service, not by conquering, killing, threatening, and dominating in order to rule and reign. It is only the one who takes this low place that will be exalted to kingship. Luke chapter 14. That's pretty interesting, brother.
Absolutely. When we take the low place at the party, when we come in and don't try to rise up and take the great position, but we're willing to take the low place of being a servant, Todd, then someone will come along and say, friend, go up higher. But it's only the person that gets down, Todd, that gets down into this service, as Jesus did and as he will do in and through us. You mentioned Matthew 20, and here Jesus gives the comparison between these Lion King gods and the real God. He says, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. That means lord it over them, and that they are great, and that they that are great exercise authority upon them. See, he's giving that to show us that's not who God is, and that's not who we should be. But then he says in 26, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or servant or slave. 27, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That is the servant God contrasted with our ideas as natural people of what a king is, one that kills and dominates and threatens and keeps everybody in line by lording it over them. That is not who our God is, Todd.
Amen. Our King from heaven, who's coming back again, came to give his life a ransom for many. We read right here in Matthew 20, verse 28. He's coming back to take account, saints, of how we are following him, emulating him in serving God first. And as we do, as we really follow Jesus, we're going to be learning to serve others. Jesus said the whole law and the prophets are wrapped around two commands: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that does not mean learn to love yourself, as a lot of psychologized falsehoods have been taught today. No, Jesus had never said learn to love yourself. That's our biggest problem. We innately, if you will, naturally love ourselves. Ephesians 5:30, no man ever yet hated his own flesh. But he said, you love the Lord, the first command, and you love your neighbor as yourself. Many false teachers have added a command in there that does not exist. That's Matthew chapter 22, verse 38, 39, 40, right in there. Okay, Brother Travis, now you talked about Colossians 2, verse 8 through 15, where Jesus the servant came down from his kingship, humbled himself, and became a servant, all the way down to dying for us in order to rescue us from sin, the law, and the demonic powers. Amen. Colossians 2, 8 through 15. And did you want to speak to that part, brother?
Well, that, you know, that shows, you know, this stripping, Todd, you know, in John 13, the servant Jesus, who is just, Jesus is just God with skin on, Todd. That's the only difference in Jesus and his Father. He's just his Father with skin on. He strips himself down and puts a towel around himself. Well, that signifies the servant nature of God. not lording it over people, not ambitious to rise up and control others, but one that would be willing to be stripped naked, vulnerable, low, and get down on his knees, Todd, and wash his disciples' feet. And this was so shocking to them that they, like many of us, said, no, you shouldn't be washing my feet. Let me wash your feet. But see, this counterintuitive God that we worship, Todd, is a servant before he's a king. And so he poured water into a basin. Well, that's a picture of after Jesus died and rose, the Holy Spirit was poured out of heaven into the earth, the basin, into people's hearts, into fleshly hearts. He poured his Spirit to wash our hearts clean of self and sin and all the things that enslave us, Todd.
Amen. You know, brother, this is such a paramount teaching in the life of Christ, too. We see that it was just before that he was going to be suffer and be crucified and raised from the dead that he made a special point to teach his disciples this lesson. We have evidence here in the beginning of the 13th chapter of the book of John. Jesus, knowing, verse 3, that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Verse 5, after that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now. Thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet, Jesus. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Then that's an interesting verse, brother. Does that have to do with the washing of regeneration and redemption?
It signifies someone who is already saved and don't need to be washed in their whole being, but their walk has to be washed. A daily washing of their feet that contact this earth and pick up its filth. As we walk through this earth, we need a daily cross, Todd, to cleanse our walk.
Yes. Not self. Only that, if we, amen, and as if we stumble, and I think the body of Christ needs to know this, the Bible, the Lord, included in his plan of redemption forgiveness. I get the idea from some people that preach, regrettably, because it's not a reflection of the Lord, that, you know, if you mess up, I mean, it's all over. Well, that's very fatalistic and completely unbiblical. We have so many scriptures in the Word of God for the believer, because the Bible is written for the believers anyway, not for the lost. Like 1 John 1:9, Brother Travis, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10 here says, Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, or except to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. So those that are already washed initially with the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, Titus 3, have the blessed privilege and opportunity to be washed every day as we walk in this life. Brother Travis, and one thing we need to confess is that we haven't died to death as well as we are called to, correct?
Oh, absolutely, Todd. And when you start to see this self and all of its tentacles in your life, and you read, you know, what Paul gave as the definition of sin, which is much broader than most people think. He said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, that encompasses a whole lot of things, Todd, including trying to live under law and by selfish efforts, human efforts, to keep rules. That is sin, Todd. Whatsoever is not of faith, and that is not of faith. That's faith in self there to please God, is sin. So people need to understand the broad definition of sin, and you'll see that you can hardly go through an hour without some kind of little sin, at least, Todd. And yes, we do need this moment-to-moment cleansing and washing. And of course, washing is a word that is symbolic of death and resurrection, Todd. The washing of regeneration is dying with Christ and being raised up in a participation. That's what washing of regeneration is. And you know what? We need every day to have a regeneration. And a washing, Todd.
Amen, brother. That's for sure. I'm reminded in realizing this paramount truth of the gospel in the life of Christ and what Christ and his apostles commanded, I find it necessary for myself, and I know that many others do this also. Philippians 2, verse 3 through 5, I like to read that prayerfully, not religiously, but prayerfully every morning to set the posture of my heart, to help to realize this life is not about me, it's about Christ and others. And you know, Brother Travis, that flesh is contrary to this Christ-likeness, isn't it? And so the medicine, if you will, the crucifixion has to happen, Gethsemane, every morning for me. And so I like to read this every morning and bathe my mind in it, if you will. It says, let nothing, this is Philippians 2, 3 through 5, Saints, and I really dare you, if you will, to try to read this every morning in your Bible study preparation for the day. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory for self, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves, not only on the same level, but better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that is the mind that Brother Travis was talking about earlier, that Jesus, heaven's King, came to serve. You know, Brother Travis, this is, as we read this, I'm reminded of times that I'm in a rush, running here and there, but there's someone in need, and the Lord will use this, because this is God's hook in you. In one sense, it's like a hook he has in you, and a good one, too, if he's got it in you. And it really shakes you, because when you're saying, I've got to hurry up and get here, I've got to get this accomplished or that accomplished, and yet there's someone presented right in front of your face that needs help. This has been such a catalyst for the Holy Spirit, if you will, or a hook, if you will, to cause me to just stop and say, you know what, you know, in the middle of the day, this is not about me. I've got to serve others better than myself. Have you found that, brother?
Oh, absolutely, Todd. And, of course, I fail that test every day, too. You know, you get a phone call, and you look on the cell phone, you see it's a name that you really don't want to talk to right now, because you know they're in need, they're suffering, they need an ear, they need some help, they need some money, they need somebody to come alongside, and yet we decline that phone call, or we hit the button and says, sorry, I'm busy now, or something like that. Well, there you have it, Todd. That's opting for self in the moment, rather than to be a servant with Christ and take the phone call. When you take that phone call, Todd, you're stripped. I mean, you're vulnerable, you're open, and you're willing to have somebody interrupt your day and your plans. And that's what this is all about on a little mini basis, Todd, these little mini deaths that we die every day when we go from self to servant. And that's really what dying is, to go from self to servant, Todd.
Amen, amen. That's what Jesus taught saints. And one of the passages that's so profound on this truth is 2 Corinthians 4:10-12. It says, always, Paul writes, bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. I don't know about you saints, but I want the life of Christ teeming in me, and many of you already know that once you get a taste of that, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, I warn you, you may become addicted because there's nothing that compares. And I can't explain that, but those who have experienced know it, and those who have experienced it know it. Verse 11, for we which live, Paul writes, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Now, every believer, true born-again believer that's listening to me, at least desires to be used of God. And this is the absolute key, Brother Travis, as I think you'll agree, to ministry fruitfulness, is that it's really not you doing the work. You're just agreeing with God that you need to die. You're laying down your life, and he's raising you up. And the life of Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, is flowing through you and blowing even you away. Amen?
Amen,
death,
brother.
Death is working in you.
Amen, brother. John 13, Todd, we have this verse 5, and that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now, that word girded in the King James is, that's what I love about King James. It's consistent in the use of these words that show us the cross and the typology of the cross. And that word girded is also used over here in the last chapter of John, which is also an event that signifies something. But could we go over to John 21, Todd? And I mentioned in the writing. By the way, I corrected that writing this morning and sent it to you. So the one last night was not too good. But John 21, you know, we have this situation where Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And the word he uses is agape. And Jesus he answers, you know, I love you, but it's the word philos. So he's not willing to express, being honest now, he's not willing to express agape love. And we come down here to this strange statement in John chapter 21, verse 18. Read that, Todd, because it uses the word gird again, and this word refers to the cross. Jesus was naked on the cross, and that's what this girded with a towel is signifying in John 13, and then we have it again used here in verse 18, Todd.
In verse 18, John 21, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou
that's
shalt
the self
be
life,
old,
Todd.
Yeah. Okay, when thou wast young, that's significant too, huh?
Yeah.
But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest go.
Wouldest not. Carry thee whither thou...
Oh, yeah, wouldest thou not go. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Where you would not go. So against his will,
right?
Now read
19.
Okay.
Yes.
Verse 19.
Read 19.
This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?
Okay. Stop there. This, when you're young, you see, Todd, that's the first half of life when we're all trying to achieve upward mobility. You know, we're getting an education, mm-hmm. we're building a family, we're, you know, rising to the top of our profession, we're, you know, doing all these things to gain ascendancy in the flesh. But he says when you get old, that's the second half of life, start to realize that that isn't working. And you come into this mysterious downward mobility, Todd, downward mobility of the Bible, of the cross, of Jesus as the servant heart. And then you're taken by other people where you don't want to go. See, that's taken somewhere that is not a selfish desire on your part. You're taken out of self, which hurts and it's painful to have to go that way because it's into uncertainty. It's into darkness. But that is, we have to almost be ushered there by people that are against us. But Todd, that's the cross, and we're ushered into a realm that is just incredible. In the thing we've always been looking for in this world, we finally find through the cross, through pain and discomfort, we find it when we couldn't find it on our own, Todd.
They call that serendipity, don't they, brother? Finding exactly what you're looking for, and the exact and last thing you thought it would be. And got a couple of minutes left. Brother Travis, okay. You spoke about in this writing, which is going to be posted, saints, on safeguardyoursoul.com, where there is an absolute wealth of biblical topics and things from Brother Travis and myself and a few others. Anyway, it says Jesus stripped himself, became vulnerable and made himself naked. He agreed to be stripped of all his rights as God of the universe and became our servant, Philippians 2. He became weak in order to wash us and make us strong. He became poor in order for us to become rich. Amen, brother. We've got just about 90 seconds or less. And here you said, now we must gird ourselves in weakness, as did Jesus and Peter, and be willing to be taken as a servant to where we don't want to go, into the same cross, death of self. Amen. Peter was crucified upside down. Amen, saints. And Jesus was crucified for our sins. Amen. Buried and raised again from the dead. That's the gospel, and God wants that in our daily life. Brother Travis, we've got about 30 seconds left, but you spoke recently about how we need to look for and take a demotion today, right?
Oh, absolutely, Todd. And Jesus gave his life as a ransom for many. Todd, that is such a beautiful truth there in John 13. But he calls us now to follow him in that same chapter. And we are to give our lives as a ransom for many. Not that we're Christ, but the same principle applies, that we lay down our lives to elevate other people. Todd, that is the lifestyle of the cross. That is Christianity in action, Todd.
Amen, brother. Sisters and brothers, I want to encourage you today to look up to the Lord, raise your hands and hearts, and just say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Just tell him you love him and ask him to
Absolutely.
Bless you to serve others as unto him today. God bless you, and thank you for listening.
Thank you, Todd.
Thank you, Brother Travis. Thank you, sir.